few would argue that parenting our kids according to the principles and the mandates of Scripture is more challenging today than at any time in American history. But what if your family name is Dobson or Rainey or Roseman or Lehman? Are today's pillars of Christian parenting any less susceptible to the onslaughts of today's increasingly godless culture than the rest of us? Well, today we'll talk with a man who has some insights into what it's like growing up in a home devoted to leading the world to Christ and to family values that are Christ-centric. Oh yeah, all that while facing and sometimes going to battle with a culture that's embracing the darkness. A look inside what many might consider to be the first family of family-oriented ministries as we talk with Ryan Dobson today on License to Parent. And coming to you from a horse farm in northeast Georgia, just north of Atlanta, this is License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy. Shepherd's Hill is a year-long residential treatment program for teens in crisis, and License to Parent is the prescription for change in the home with the hopes that we can somehow help parents aim their teens in the right directions and avoid becoming teens in crisis. The host of License to Parent is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill, and I'm Rich Rozzle. And Trace, you know as well as I do, virtually every day you deal hands-on with kids and parents and even the extended families of those kids and parents who have become casualties of the myriad temptations and attacks that are prevalent in today's culture. We're talking about well-respected families, even families in full-time ministry, right?
No, that's absolutely right, Rich. Kids from ministry homes are often, you know, Satan's greatest target. We've had pastors' kids here at Shepherd's Hill, missionary kids, parachurch leaders' kids. Our culture is very indiscriminate when it comes to influencing its citizenry.
That's true.
I'd say that Satan is indeed very discriminate when it comes to what kind of individuals get what kind of attack. It's almost like to the degree that a person or an entity is genuinely effective for the kingdom of God, it seems like it's to that degree that you can expect to have the big bombs dropped on you, so to speak. That's why a good biblical foundation is so important in an effort to sustain those kinds of attacks, because they're coming. Jesus said they were coming. I'll tell you what, this is our parenting weekend at Shepherd's Hill, and every time, we have two of these a year,
right?
We can expect some crazy thing going on, and I won't go into it, but we've already had it's nuts.
It's already started. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, today's guest and his family probably have a bullseye painted on them. One could assume that. But the encouraging thing is that our guest's family's foundation has been duly established. Not only that, his family has been used by God to do an incredible amount of help building foundations for other families as well. And as I mentioned a moment ago at the start of the program, today's guest is Ryan Dobson. Ryan's knowledge of youth culture and speaking experience have earned him the respect and the trust of today's younger generation. And he speaks now to more than 100 audiences a year at events ranging from music festivals to concert tours and youth camps and even Crisis Pregnancy Center fundraisers. Back in 2005, Ryan founded CORE Ministries. That's an organization whose outreach is centered on evangelism and fostering passion and identity in the next generation. Incidentally, one of the reasons he's on today is he is a best-selling author of several books, including Be Intolerant, To Die For, To Live For, and his newest book, which is just now coming out, and we'll be discussing it today, Wanting to Believe, Faith, Family, and Finding an Exceptional Life. And Ryan graduated from Biola University with a bachelor's degree in communications. And Trace, he and his family fled from the West Coast to head to Colorado. For some reason, they wanted to get rid of waves and get more snow, which he was telling us just before the program, they just got a pile dumped on them. So,
well, Ryan, thank you so much, brother, for coming back on the program. It's a pleasure to have you back.
Oh, Rich and Trace, thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here.
It sounds like your forthcoming book is one that could bring a bit of intimate insight into what it's like growing up Dobson. Ryan, why did you decide to write this book now?
You know, Trace, I've been working with my dad for a number of years now, but we're doing a brand new film series called Building a Family Legacy. And I looked at my kids and, you know, that parenting job is just totally overwhelming. I mean, they put Lincoln in my arms for the first time. And I mean, the first thought I had was, I've made a huge mistake. Who let me have a kid? I mean, I don't have any idea what I'm doing. And I mean, I grew up a Dobson. My dad is America's foremost authority on parenting and child rearing. And you know, if I don't know what I'm doing, who can possibly know what they're doing? It was just terrifying. Yeah. And, you know, it's by the grace of God that we think we're doing a pretty good job. But I look at my kids. I've got little Lucy now, and Lincoln's 7 and Lucy's 2. And I want them to know the Lord. I want them to love the Lord and to be good people and good adults. And I want them to love other people and to be in ministry. And I woke up one morning, I thought, you know, I'm in ministry and I love my kids and I love my wife and I feel like I'm doing a good job and the Lord's pleased with me. My parents must have done a good job. And I started thinking, how did they do that? Because I get that question all the time. Mm. What did your parents do so that you ended up like this? And usually it's said in a positive way. and so my book is really kind of a look back. I'm 44, I've got 2 kids and I'm married, and looking back at the lessons I've learned from my family and my parents, and in particular my dad, and how I've struggled through some of those lessons and how I've applied them to my life and how I'm trying to apply them to my life in the future so I can have not just great kids. Andy Andrews was here recently and he said, you know, so many times people say, you know, I just want to raise great kids. And he said, I disagree a little bit. I think you want to raise great kids that become great adults.
Yeah.
And that's what we're trying to do. And my parents have done an amazing job. And so I'm trying to share that with other people. You know, sometimes I'll be talking and I'll say, you know, Lincoln did this crazy thing and I didn't know what it was. And I called my dad and he gave me great advice. And people go, oh, I wish I could do that.
Yeah.
And that's really my goal in this ministry of Family Talk, is to let people have as much access to my dad as they possibly can. Not personally, they don't get to call him like I do, but the information he's given me and the information he's put into books and the stuff that's been on the radio, I want to give that to parents because we all need help.
Sure.
There's no parent that just says, hey, I don't need anybody's help. This is super easy job. I mean, raising kids is tough. Even compliant kids, raising kids is still tough, especially in today's culture.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for sharing your day with us down through the years. I've taken a ton of parenting cues from him since the 70s. Ryan, I've talked with you enough in the past to know that way beyond any of us who've loved and admired your dad from a distance, that you have an incredible amount of love, admiration, and respect for him.
Mm-hmm.
What in particular would you say has been his greatest strength or asset in raising you?
Oh, you know, honestly, I think maybe one of the best examples he's given me, one of the greatest gifts, is a successful, supportive, loving marriage.
Hmm.
This year, my parents will have been married for 54 years.
That's important.
And they love each other. I mean, it's not just that, you know, they're familiar with each other. If you ask my dad, what do you want to do? 9 times out of 10, he's going to say, hang out with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's trying to write a book, but they just spend a ton of time together and they love each other and they support each other. And watching that growing up, I'll never quite know that impact on my life, but it's profound. It is a profound impact.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do understand how important it is, the simple idea of mom and dad getting along and supporting one another.
Well, but it's not just getting along. It's more than that, as Ryan was just pointing out. The fact that Ryan, as you were saying, your parents are in love and love spending that time together. And I know my wife and I have wrestled with this. I mean, we both deeply love each other. But, you know, do you get yourself buried in doing everything around and with the kids? Or do you take that time? And I, quite frankly, have wrestled with doing that quite a lot, taking the time to spend the time with her and nurture that relationship, because if that relationship doesn't survive, then the rest of them are apt to fall apart too.
I tell my kids, I tell them, said, listen, mom was here before you got here. She'll be here after you leave. Get used to it.
That's right. It's true.
Talk about the title of your book, Wanting to Believe. What's that all about?
Yeah, it comes from the scripture of the father of the sick son. He's talking to Christ and he says, I believe, help my unbelief. And I think a lot of kids struggle with that, and I know I did, of making your parents' faith your own, choosing it for yourself, really actively choosing it for yourself, deciding, you know, that you're going to do the research. And, you know, I watch my parents, and I've watched them through the years, and my dad is incredibly smart. I mean, you know, I don't think people remember he got an earned PhD from USC in child psychology. He was on staff at USC for 17 years. He was on staff at Children's Hospital of Los Angeles for 18 years. He was a professor at USC. He was a professor at Point Loma when it was still Pasadena College. He was a junior high teacher, a high school counselor, a district counselor. He was in private practice. And then he started a ministry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was all pre-ministry. He'd also written a textbook for graduate students. That was his first book.
Mm-hmm.
It was a textbook because he's that smart. I mean, he's just overwhelmingly brilliant, and yet, even being that smart, if it's not mine, it's not real. And right. So it's my look at his life and his beliefs and his principles and his examples, and saying, I want to believe that's true. I want to believe that you're teaching me the right way, but help my unbelief. And that's where, as a parent at 44, I'm looking back saying, yep, that's right. You know, thinking about the individual, caring about, you know, each and every person. You know, we're talking about, we're going to be at ICRS, International Christian Retail Show, this year, debuting the film series. And he's got a new book that he's finished, and I've got this new book coming out. And people don't know what it's like for him, because it's not, I mean, Phil Robertson's going to be there, the patriarch of the Duck Dynasty clan. Mm-hmm. And we love those guys. And it looks like we're going to do an interview with Phil. He's got a new book coming out in September as well. It's different. We enjoy Phil. We enjoy hearing the prayer at the end of the program. We enjoy hearing them talk about family and bonding together. It's different with my dad, because he's literally saved marriages and sure. saved families, where prodigal kids have gone off and gone crazy, and the parents read Love Must Be Tough, and they used tough love with their kids, and they came back to the Lord, and their family was saved. It was whole again. Mm-hmm. Or you've had spouses that are in terrible conflict, and they've read Love for a Lifetime, or you know, those different books. And so when he steps onto the floor there and people come up, it's either people saying, oh my goodness, you helped me raise my kids, or you saved my marriage, or I've got a kid that's run from the Lord and I'm desperate to get him back. What do I do? Or my marriage is in shambles. What do I do? And what my dad does is stand there and talk to every single person, because that's what his life is based on, of giving that information that he's gleaned from the Lord to other people.
Well, you know, like a lot of us, Ryan, you experienced a dark time. What did it take to make your faith your own?
Hardship, adversity. You know, it's funny. The Bible says the Lord speaks in a still small voice. He does, if we'll listen. Right. When we don't, the consequences come. And that's when I think sometimes the Lord speaks to me with a baseball bat, because I just tend to do my own thing and I'm going to go my own way. And for me, it took a lot of hard years, not running from the Lord, but just being, you know, going through adversity. You know, when Laura and I first got married, when she was 5.5 months pregnant with Lincoln, her mom passed away of a sudden heart attack. And that's bad enough. It's worse when Laura has flown out for a baby shower her mom is throwing, and goes to her house and knocks on the door. Nobody answers. And she gets the Heida key and goes in. And she's the one that found her mom had passed away the day before the baby shower.
That's horrible.
And there's really no way for me to describe how horrible that situation is.
Yeah.
And getting pregnant with Lincoln and having Lincoln was, I mean, for me, it was super easy. But, you know, even for Laura, the pregnancy wasn't easy, but it seemed like an easy one. But between Lincoln and Lucy, we had a lot of trouble. We had 4 miscarriages in a row. And again, there's no way to describe that. And people say, oh, you know, does it make you question your faith? And I said, no, it just makes me tired, because I know this grief is going to take a long time to get through.
Yeah.
And, you know, those tough times are the things that really do refine us. You know, I've been watching a bunch of videos on Vimeo on blacksmithing and different people that make things with their hands. But when you look at these blacksmiths and what they do to refine metal to make sure it's tempered correctly and to stay strong, and they're pounding on it with these sledgehammers and they're, you know, chiseling it into different shapes, and they stick it back in the fire and they put, you know, this borax on it that helps, you know, weld these pieces of metal together. It makes it stronger. Mm-hmm. And that's what these tough times have done for me, to where the Lord's the only thing I can lean on. You sure. know, I wonder, because we're human, and so we look at these, you know, my wedding day was amazing and my honeymoon was amazing and the day Lincoln was born was just unbelievable. And when Lucy came into our lives, we just couldn't believe it. And we look at those as the greatest times of our life. I wonder, though, when we get to heaven and when we're with the Lord, we'll look back on our lives and see the darkest hour as the greatest experience, because that's when I can't stand on my own.
Right.
I can't do it anymore. And I just lean on the Lord 100%.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you this, Ryan. I've got a son buried on Shepherd's Hill, and it was his short life, about a year, and death. that really was the birth of Shepherd's Hill Academy. So good things will come out of adversity. We've got a highway coming right through our property as well, fighting the DOT. Something's good going to come out of that as well. So I totally understand that. But Rich, I think we're up on a break.
Yeah, I was about to say we're up on a break. I'm curious about this. We've talked Duck Dynasty and we've talked learning blacksmithing. we're going to find out, and that could explain why Ryan is here in full camo with a full-length beard.
There you
but,
go.
But that's another story. We've got to take a quick break here. Coming to you from Shepherd's Hill Academy, this is License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill. Our guest today, Ryan Dobson, and we're talking about his new or forthcoming book, Wanting to Believe, Faith, Family, and Finding an Exceptional Life. We'll be right back. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and License to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosel, and our guest today is Ryan Dobson, who just before the break revealed that he had been spending countless hours watching videos on Vimeo about blacksmithing. And you just ran right through that and never said why. Why are you watching about blacksmithing?
Because I'm obsessed with making. You know, in this culture, we are such a consumer-based culture. We just consume and we consume, and it's all disposable. And we buy cheap junk and we throw it away and we waste money. It drives me nuts. It just drives me nuts. And I am fascinated by craftsmen, by old world craftsmen, people that they know. My grandpa was a union tile layer for 50 years. He got his 50-year union pin. He could do anything with tile. He was just a magician with it. It was so amazing. And you know, the farmers, the small farmers and the people that do leather work. I was doing that with my son yesterday. You know, we were making little patches and, you know, teaching him how to emboss his name into different things. I love that stuff. I think I was reading Wendell Berry. He's kind of an agrarian. And a concept I learned from that is the more we're dependent upon other people, the more stress and anxiety we have in our life. Mm-hmm. If I can't fend for myself and I am totally 100% dependent upon other people to fend for me, then I always live with this anxiety. If I can't, you know, grow a crop or raise an animal or fix a car or hang a picture in the house, I'm totally dependent upon other people, then I'm always going to have that underlying stress of if something goes wrong, I can't take care of myself, and I want to take care of my family.
Add to that the fact that we're not dependent on people anymore. We're dependent on technology, machines. Digital technology. I wanted to ask you about the adoption situation. You know, at Shepherd's Hill, we seem to have a high percentage of kids who've been adopted. Can you share how being an adopted child affected you in your relationship with your parents and your God?
You know, Trace, I got to be honest, it really didn't affect me that much. And people are surprised by that. I've got a ton of friends that are adopted, and I've heard so many adopted kids say they felt abandoned and they don't really know who they are. And I just didn't experience that. My parents told me long before I knew what adoption was, that I could even understand that concept, that I was adopted. They explained that my mom couldn't have any more kids after my sister, and they wanted more children, and the Lord brought me to them. That they prayed and prayed and prayed. I tell that in my story all, that they prayed for 4.5 straight years before I was adopted. And I remember being, I mean, goodness, probably 12-ish before that aha moment hit me, and I went, oh, that's what being adopted means. And the other aspect of that is I struggled more with my identity of being a Dobson than adopted. You know, being the poster child for child psychology is tough. I mean, it had to be tough on my sister, and it was tough on me, and it still is from time to time. You know, I get that. You know, you're not what I was expecting, and I never quite know if that's a good thing or I take it as a good thing now.
But you got picked. Yeah, I tell our kids, listen, I got what I got. You guys got picked.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. You know, and by the way, abandonment is abortion. It's not adoption. Having a young, my birth mom was 17 years old. She carried me for a full term, had to drop out of school, didn't go to prom, didn't have a boyfriend because she was pregnant, and still carried me for a full term, and then made the ultimate sacrifice of placing me into a family she thought would do a better job than she would.
Picked a good
one. That is the ultimate expression of love.
Yeah.
Ryan, a minute ago, you mentioned that in addition to dealing with the issues of adoption, your bigger challenge was being a Dobson and being in that sort of a fishbowl, the poster child, as you said, of Christian parenting. I know there are a lot of Christian leaders, a lot of pastors and whatnot who are trying to raise kids according to biblical principles, scriptural mandates, but those kids are also kids in the fishbowl. What encouragement might you give them, or what counsel? Not just them, but any parent who really wants to glorify God in a day when Christianity is looked upon with a great deal of contempt. What, having gone through that, what encouragement can you pass along?
I'll tell you what I'd advise: is stop listening to other people. We're so concerned with what our neighbors think.
That's true.
We're so concerned with what the people at church think about our kids. And I got to be honest, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody at my church thinks about my kids. I don't care what my neighbors think about my kids. As long as I know they love the Lord and they're behaving and we love each other and we have a good relationship, then I don't care. Because I get those questions. You know, I got them my entire life. The number one question I get was, what do your parents think about X? Well, you ride a skateboard. What do your parents think about that? Or you have your hair cut this way. What do your parents think about that? And you wear a lot of black t-shirts. What do your parents think about that? And the whole time I'm like, well, they bought my skateboard and they buy my clothes and they take me to the barber. I think they think it's okay. But it's that insinuation of, I disagree.
Yeah.
And that really does... it weighs on kids, and you can't do that to children. You can't put adult pressures on children like that. I don't think it's right or correct for parents to do that. And so I just tell my kids, you don't have to listen to other people. Yeah. You got to listen to mommy and daddy. You need to be respectful.
There you go.
I don't mean be disrespectful. Be courteous and be kind. But when people say those things to you, you come and talk to mommy and daddy, and we'll talk about it.
How old is Lincoln now?
He's seven.
7 years old.
Yeah.
Hey, were you the type of kid who one day had an aha moment when someone said something to you, you know, something that your parents been trying to get you to understand your entire life? You ever had one of those deals when some guy comes out of right field, says something your dad's been telling you for years, and then boom, it dawns on you? Have you ever had one of those moments?
I've had one recently. I've been reading a book called In His Steps by Charles Sheldon. It was written in 1896.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting. That's where "What Would Jesus Do" came from. What would Jesus do if he were Ryan Dobson? If he were VP of broadcast for Family Talk, and if he were an author and a parent and a husband, what would he do in my situation? What would he do if he was Trace Embry at Shepherd's Hill? What would he do if he was Rich, co-host of this broadcast? And that's what I've watched my dad do his entire life. It's not, I mean, when he parted ways with Focus on the Family, he could have retired and no one would have said anything. I mean, he has had an incredible career, but at 73, he said, the Lord isn't done with me. And he wants me to start a ministry from scratch with no budget and no mailing list and no building and no staff and start all over again. I mean, I can't even imagine the workload and the pressure that he feels, but he's doing what Christ has called him to do and what Christ would do if he were in James Dobson's position. And it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. If it's right, it's right. And that's what he does. And I'm telling you, it's like getting hit with a 2x4 in the forehead. It has revolutionized my marriage and my parenting. And I look at my dad and think, I can't believe, as I look back over my past 44 years, the way that my dad has lived that out in his day-to-day life.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Ryan, thank you so much for being with us today. Our time has flown by, as it always does, but I can't tell you how much we appreciate your carving out some of your day to give to us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Anytime, I'd love to come back on.
Thank you.
Tomorrow. We're calling you tomorrow.
Good.
Our guest today has been Ryan Dobson. Ryan's a best-selling author of several books, including Be Intolerant, To Die For, To Live For, and his newest book, which is just now coming out, Wanting to Believe, Faith, Family, and Finding an Exceptional Life. In it, he details his young struggles under the Dobson name, as well as his gratefulness for the family legacy. Ryan also reflects on discipline, discipleship, the deep imprints in his life. He lets us into the Dobson home, introduces his own family, as a matter of fact, his wife Laura and their two kids, Lincoln and Lucy. The stories are very transparent and not only share the laughter and love and the strength of his family, but also the tears and the fears that have come along the way. He reveals that in his family, Christ is the center, the foundation, and everything in between, and he invites you to be very practical and intentional in finding your own exceptional life. That's what this book is about. You can find Wanting to Believe, Faith, Family, and Finding an Exceptional Life online. And Ryan, where would be the best place for folks to start looking for that?
If they want more resources than just that, they can come to drjamesdobson.org. That's our website here at Family Talk. If you just want the book, you can go to Amazon. I'm sure it'll be really cheap there too. But if you want to support the ministry, you can buy it from us. It'd be my pleasure either way.
Excellent. And speaking of online, if you'd like to listen to this conversation again or any of the weekly half-hour conversations we have here on Licensed to Parent, you'll find them all in the program archive section of our website, licensedtoparent.org. Incidentally, while you're there, you'll also find information about Shepherd's Hill Academy, our parent organization, and you'll find ways to connect with us online at Facebook and Twitter. Thanks for listening today. Thanks also for your faithful prayer and financial support that keeps this program on the air. For Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rossell, inviting you back again next week when, again, we'll renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.